bringing eternity to the universe, is that's not the purpose of this writing. Notice he says that, because you have to, I told you, the philosopher, you have to know what his objective is, you have to get involved in such points. Below the Varas Fakus, Shebishitaso, below Zarusa. He says, and I didn't come to explain the strangeness or the difficulties in this theory. He says, Tikrat Kodulli, Be'nim, Alolo, Be Safe, My Morm, Be'figur, Matarasim.
Because there are others who wrote about it. I don't know whether he wrote it before or before or if they were checking.
But that was the purpose was not to go into the cognizant of Kirchhoff with this one, just to give a basic idea of the object. Of course, there's a third theory in the eternal universe. There's one theory which is a combination of two. It's two basic theories.
Well, whether Ramon Mold used
to. Of course, he knew of. Well, you see, how do we know? How do you know Ramon?
Right,
this is the Mitzrayim of the Torah. And according to our Shita, there's no question about it. All the Mitzvah Mitzrayim show to the Shalom. Because according to Aristotle, no Nes can ever occur. No Nes can ever occur. According to those who hold that the eternal universe, no miracle could ever occur.
But he says it was built into nature.
Aristotle holds that God could never make any change at any time.
But he's saying that it's not a change, that it was made. Aristotle said that.
Yeah, but he can't say that. The Torah can't say that. I mean, Moshe goes to Pharaoh, it's all dependent upon Pharaoh. If you listen, then this will happen. If you won't listen, then this is going to occur. It has to be changes. It can't be that's not the Lutheran universe. It means that God at a certain point split the sea. God at a certain point did this, a certain point did that.
And you said yesterday, so Chazal also said that everything was created.
I want you to understand that it was the area of the natural. See, what Chazal say is something else. Chazal argued with the Rambam in one thing.
Yeah.
In one thing. Not in creation of the universe. This everybody agrees with. The only thing is this. The question is, the miracles which occur, everything that occurs, was it built in at the time of the creation, or no? Is it a direct action of God at a specific time? That's the question. But they both agree. In other words, Chazal wouldn't say it's impossible for God to do this. Chazal wouldn't say it's impossible. They say that this is the way he did it. His way was that at Sheshit Migration everything should be concluded. That's the way God saw fit to do it. Doesn't mean it's an impossibility, because they believe that God created the universe. I just mentioned that parenthetically. Let's forget about that.
Why?
I just mentioned that as a side point. That's
if you
not
have
the
that
creation
point,
universe.
If you have that point, let's say you say that the Nissan were part of nature. They're within the rule laws of nature.
Right.
Then will the Nissan still be a disproof of Kabbalah's elements? Because a thing that's created by existence of God, the rules of nature is within that thing that's created by the existence of God.
Sure.
So it doesn't really disprove Kabbalah's elements. So according to Chazal, say that God operates within the laws of nature.
Right.
Then in this, aren't really disproving Kabbalah's elements.
Yeah.
Because the thing that changes is in other words, the essence of God, the existence of God, produces these rules, these laws of nature, right?
Right.
And since there's change within those laws, there's really no change in his existence.
Yeah, no, it's still proven. It's still proven.
How?
Now, then I see that? His question is this. If I should hold like Chazal, that everything was within the laws of nature, before Sheshit was made gracious, when everything was finalized, he says, would the Nissim still prove Kadmos Arba? Kadmos Arba problem.
What'd you say?
Oh, yes. Would the Nissim reflect upon the problem of Kadmos Olam if we should say that everything was finalized by Sheshit Migrations?
I don't see why they need the question, because if you're assuming the Nissim, then you're interrupting the Torah. If you took the Torah,
Until you saw a Nes today, okay? But that just would come out.
No, see, they all. Ram mentioned the Chazal. Really, has nothing to do with this area, with this specific. Ram doesn't mention. I just brought an Agalok as a new. But the Ram mentions there is a sheet there. It's Gemara that says that certain things that occur. Certain. So, for instance, by Yena, Rav Papa said by Yena b'nei Adora. So it says that Yemula Vayaman at Hashem Dov Gadol. It wasn't a regular fish. It was Vayaman, he prepared it. It means that it was Mimuna Hoya Isa Dov Mishesh to make fishes. So these were the specific fish that was created at the time before Bria's Olam, before the finalization of the laws of nature, you see? And this fish was waiting, was appointed for this time, you see?
Something had to change to cause this rule, that this thing to come into play. Even though it's within the laws of nature, there had to be something to cause the law of nature to work this way, right? So as soon as you say that, that must mean it was a change in God's essence.
Even if you assume that the nisim were made by Yeshua gracious, still it has to have the change to bring it about at that time.
Right.
When Moshe needed the nisim.
That's right. It had to be related to this specific.
So why couldn't that be built in?
The way it was put in was with certain conditions in the world.
The way in the world, and then the other ones depend upon the man's action. Right? Okay, so now you have to say that these things were prearranged, that when man does this action, that this
correct,
is going
correct.
To go, right?
Correct.
Well, that demands a prearranging.
You'd say that the world was, the universe was always there, and say, well, at what point was he put in so that it would come together like this?
There would only be one way.
Pre-arrangement. God's existence causes that arrangement to be there.
Okay.
It's always there. Thinking that situation's not there.
So when this certain situation arises, then
automatically the rules of nature switch.
Yeah, but that's absurd. You can say that when power is a chodesh, and then you cause the rules of nature to switch. That's crazy.
So then what are they saying?
It was planned that you have these going in this direction, going in this direction.
No.
At some point they're going
to
meet.
So,
there has to be. You see, if you're going to say that it's all laws of nature, you're going to say that there has to be some relationship between Paro's wickedness and the splitting of the sea. There's no relationship.
But if you hold by God, it's all of it.
What do they say?
Who's
the ones who say that everything is So now what happens when Mitzrayim comes about?
So the moment that Paro's a chotei, so then this occurs. Everything was prearranged beforehand. So in other words, whenever Paro is a chotei, so then this occurs.
So they're saying that the actions of man affect the rules of nature.
No, but only because of something else. God's will to bring about. In other words, God is using nature in order to bring for another purpose, in order to bring man to the recognition of God.
Well, maybe
right?
God.
It's not a natural result of the laws of nature.
See, I got anything. A guy sins, so God punishes him. So a guy is determining what God does.
Are you asking a question? You want to say it's the laws of nature, so you must say that this is a natural result. Like when rain hits a plant, it grows. This is all within the laws of nature. But here things occur which are totally outside the realm of. There's no causality. The only causality is that God creates it that way because of his specific will. His will must cause this, and therefore it must be kind of spread apart, not kind of something.
Maybe his nature, like the very existence of God, produced the following situation. That there are two sets of rules in nature, and one will operate during this situation, and the other will operate in another situation. So you're saying the ridiculous thing about it is that you must.
There's no relationship physically. It has to be rational. You have to be able to show me your relationship here. There's no relationship.
What's the relationship? Let's say you say that Chiyah Shalom, right? And then what's the relationship?
God creates the laws, right? But the purpose of these laws are to bring a person to X. Now, sometimes he will bypass that purpose and he will do something else in order to, he will do something extraneous to those laws in order to achieve his objective.
He suspends the laws.
Because there's no natural relationship between the two. In other words, we don't say that because power of the chote, there's some natural relationship between that and between the splitting of the sea. That's crazy.
What about the guy who says that everything's prearranged?
Yeah.
How's
same
he
thing. The only thing is that it was done before in time. That's all. It's only different.
What was the act that was done before? In other words, what exactly?
No,
what
actually,
well, why would it have been possible for this to occur if we were to say a Kadusal?
Right?
If there's a design, so how could there have been this design for this to happen in the universe if the universe is eternal? Right? So say, why not? I say, because. This is eternal, but there must have been a point in which this design was made, because the universe is eternal, so you could not break down to a specific point, right? So therefore you must say that this is only possible, so by
Because what does the nace mean? Nace means that there's no relationship between two events, it's unrelated. So therefore you must go back to God's will. But it's not a natural result of his existence, it's a result of his will. There was a
God's essence by God's will, but it's the same thing. You mean by God's action, but I don't see how action fits in here. Yeah, just in here. Never mind. I know, but will is a good word to use here. Because will is in the essence.
Oh, which one do you say that?
Here, action.
Yes, Henry?
I just thought it was
the one. That's a separate point of it. See, if you think about it, you see that the only rational way, you can't just make up systems, you know what I mean? Philosophy can't just make up systems. It's all a natural system. The natural result of God is that the unrelated things are related. That's crazy. That's a relationship. If you believe in it, if you say that there are laws of nature which are inherent, then we have to look at those laws and see what they are. But we don't see the relationship when we study water. We don't see the relationship between a person being a chup and water. It's absurd. So it must be a specific event.
Of course, by the way, if you need to say Chesh Olam, then what exactly was it that God created at that time? See, according to people say everything was prearranged, right? What was it that was prearranged as creation in the world?
Certain properties in the obvious.
So, can you give me an example?
I told you, there's a certain instinct in an animal that if you know what it was, something happened and they run to the city. Blow a certain kind of whistle. These certain inborn instinct.
And why can't you say that that inborn instinct was not prearranged, but it's produced by the essence of God? By the essence of God. Still saying prearranged, you say that the essence of God.
But then you can't, then you have to deny the shrine because you're saying it depends upon power being. When Moshe says this, he says, if you do this, then this is going to happen. It's not the instinct's going to take place. What's one thing
over
the other?
So, even the way.
You see it? Alright.
Okay, yeah.
I'm on my ship. Now I just want to finish up with you. So you understand, you see the analysis of Ramah? You see the method, the approach of the analysis. That's important. The approach of the analysis. The man, he took first look at Gale, but everything looks kind of irrational. But the first thing around there is he broke the man into his components. What were the components? First of all, was the secret, something which not also. Second thing was what? What was the second thing?
The limit within the realm of possibility.
The second point that Galen mentions, which is philosophical, is the question of possibilities. Right? So Galen says that God, that Moshe believes God can do
right.
Impossible. Yeah. Third thing was a specific form of possibility. Eicha sus. Sus min eicha. Right? Okay. And the fourth was what? And the fourth was the first one. Fourth one was what? That God chooses certain means in order to achieve certain goals. So what does the realm hold on all four? Let's just take a look at all four. First one, first one. Second one is the realm of possibility. We say the realm of possibility is dependent upon what? the realm of possibility is dependent upon the theory of the
intellect.
Then the third thing was whether a horse can be created from Aether. What is that? That's what it is.
Whether you're Okasa Alam or Mukhishal.
Right. If you're Okasa Alam,
then that's impossible.
That's impossible. If you're Okasa Alam,
very possible.
Very possible. Then the fourth thing was, what was the fourth one? The fourth one was that God chooses certain things which are certain things have properties that
bring about certain results.
Bring about certain results. What do we know about that?
We hold yes, but not because of it doesn't make it its way. You'll cause another fish on still hold that.
Right.
What is the
because in other words, God chooses certain things to bring about.
That's no question.
Why? Why does God choose certain things?
Well, when you say choose, you don't mean it's not a choice, right?
No,
not question.
The
we're not saying God has to do it. We're just saying now that God does things within the within certain rules.
Now, why is it within certain rules?
Why does he make do within certain rules?
Right. So somebody asked that. So why does he do within certain rules?
I mean, that's God.
No, because very simple. Why? Why is it that way?
Because it's a system.
What? Because in order, you see, in order to create a certain system, there have to be certain roles. Has to be. Now, since, right, therefore God implants certain roles in order to...
make a system.
The general system. You see, for the general system, that's certain. This has nothing to do with the question.
Then he can just ask you what you're existing for.
Temporary suspension means this. Means another set of rules, right? But that other set of rules would not fulfill the purpose, the general purpose. You see? Of course it's possible, but that set of rules, put it from the other set of rules, will not achieve the general order that we find in the universe.
So there are a certain set of rules that God has to choose.
Exactly. He has to choose certain sets of rules, because he has to have certain rules in order for things to take place. This is the logic of the session. But the only thing is that the set of rules which you choose which God chooses for the general universe, you see, he can suspend and choose another set at a specific time. Now that set he was never to choose permanently. Why? Because it wouldn't achieve the permanent goal. You understand what I mean? Which means it's based on rationality. Rationality dictates that you must have a certain set of rules.
Well, let's say...
You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, I see the possibility, but why can't you say that in order to attain a certain set of results, instead of having a set of rules and then sparing them at times, why can't you say that in each particular instance, he just does some action, and it's not determined by any set of rules at all?
Oh, in other words, because everything we investigate, then we wouldn't find any reason. Then we would not find any reason in the universe. Then, in other words, then when we investigate the universe, all these events, we would not see it.
You need to have a separate reason. You could then connect them together.
I mean, you simply see like a physicist works.
There is a sheet like that. The non-conventional model. A sheet like that. Not only is there a sheet like that, but basically David Hume is the one that has the same thing.
Sounds like causality.
Same thing. David Hume said the exact same thing. The Ram presents the Asharia. The Ram mentioned the same exact view. The view that they say like this. The best marshal is, he says, when you take a pen and you write, he says, you didn't write anything. He says, all you did was, you just took the pen and the words came out.
That's you, man.
No causality.
Yeah.
See, then it comes out you didn't even take the pen. But it comes out that you willed to take the pen and the pen was taken by itself and everything goes. But there's no set of rules. That if you say that, then there's no causality at all. So you thought there's no causality at all. That's the difference you get. But anyway, that means that
you cannot break down that.
That's the denial of causality.
Yeah,
you can't look
down. So there's no connection there.
Well, then you shouldn't study any side.
So what the Rambam says is that, once again, what the Rambam says is that God has to choose one set of rules. Because everything works according to rationality. See? But the only thing is that set of rules, which is best in general, doesn't always have to be just best in every case. Like a father might make up certain rules for his son. These rules in general are good, but then he might break the rule, saying this time he break the rule. Now he'll say this time we'll use another principle. That principle can only be used at that time, but in general that principle will destroy the child. You see? So that's the same thing over here.
By showing contradictions, you destroy the system.
In other words, he operates in two sets of rules, but he has to have a set of rules. In other words, it is his wisdom. God's wisdom dictates that things must operate with wisdom, with a set of rules. Right? Now there's the general set of rules, which he's objective is to achieve the whole general system that we have. But then he could break these rules, but he wouldn't break them. He could break them, but he wouldn't break them because these are the best rules to achieve the general goal. You see, but he could break them. And if at certain times it is more important to achieve the goal, you see, as it goes to dictate, then he suspends those rules and he puts in a new set of rules. You follow what I mean? You understand?
Just let me ask you, when he makes the suspension...
Would you just go with the 4 points again?
Well, the first one's a long one. There's three major.
Well, what's the first point?
The first one is that God is not going to command some which is not possible. That's obvious. Second,
we looked at last night, when we looked at him, he gives 10 things. 10, what was it called? 10 categories he said that came out the Shesha Membrasis that.
Yeah,
it
was the
Pergamos.
Yeah. Pergamos, yeah. Or someone wrong. Everybody holds the basis of trying to get through to continue the Sharia. Everybody agrees. And that's what we accept in the
just explain one more thing. When you say suspend the rules of nature, then the question here is to be substitutes for new laws, whether it's a new system or whether it just does anything, right? That's the point of Zal and Rumble.
No.
See, when he suspends, I thought the question.
New laws. The only question is, does he do it then or does he do it before? Okay, the only question is, did God.
Oh, did he create a new system?
The argument between the Rambam and between the Medrash that he quotes, is a question of, not a question of Chiddush. Everybody, Chazal, all accept the Chiddush. No one who follows Teres Moshe accepts the Kadmas Barim. No one. The only thing is, the question is, what does it mean when Sheishes Yemei Bereishis are completed? According to Chazal, it means completely that there's no more laws of nature. That's it. According to Rambam, it doesn't mean that. But the site, I just mentioned it, I got wrong, and you should be aware of it. It has nothing to do really with this problem. This is a problem with Kadmas Adam and Chiddushon. That's a subdivision under Chiddushon. It's a subdivision under Chiddushon. That's an
interesting point.
Okay, well, that's an interesting point.
It's a very interesting point, yeah.
There's one other point I want to mention. This is the question of evil in the universe. Good question.
Are you going to finish up?
Evil in the universe. I'll finish up around something. Evil in the universe. Maybe I'll finish up this one first. I'm on my issue, so I guess. Because our Kodmu is far from the parish, which is the Machwe Sanfashis. I discussed the diseases of the soul. I want to my purpose is to show you a way of life to help you very much. In your outlook, in your ashkofa, and in your ideas, in your fundamental ideas. Vuhu, and this is as follows. Shekhol Adam Shiyasafer Lachadvar. Listen to everyone else. Every person that tells you something, Sheraw, something that he saw, the Sigam Bechusha, even if he tells you he saw them with his senses, sense perception. Vafilu Oya Oso Adam Beinecha, Vitachlit Han Emars. Even if this person that tells you anything, above suspicion, the highest possible authority in terms of belief. Vayosher, straight, truthful. Umayla Haigoyon, he's logical, Vamidos, and he has ethical perfection. His boning, B'mashem, Mesapra Lacha, also. Think into what he's telling you. So it is. Imoya Rotsa B'mashem, Mashurra, if he wanted, if he had a desire for what he tells you that he saw, in other words, if he has a prejudice, if he has an emotional desire that things should be the way he says he saw them. Lachazek Bekach, Hashkocha Shem Yirislo, in order to support a certain view which he holds from, you see. Oh, Shita Shusav Rasa, a certain point that he thinks to be correct. Chashdeyu B'masha Amasha Rasa, suspect him from what he tells you he saw. Don't let him confuse your mind with these facts that he tells you, these stories he tells you. But investigate these ideas and these things that he says, as much as rationality dictates, demands that a person should think into it. Without really accepting what he says he saw, actually. Whether he is one or whether he is many of those people, all that you. Because desire brings people to bad things, especially in a time of argumentation and time of dispute and argumentation. And I told you, and this is the conclusion, as I already told you what I wanted about the Galinus Hamaluma Rachashev. Hamaluma means the learned and a very important person. Why? Because it's important to the government.
No, not you.
You destroy the guy or broke him up. And what he deserves, he deserves. It's all the rationale. That's an answer. The final thing is, that's the final father answer. That no matter who the person is, no matter who he is, no matter how well you might trust him, always beware of one thing, that they might always listen to the ideas, listen to what he says, and then investigate rationally what he's saying, if it makes sense or not. But if you find a certain emotional desire that he might have, not to substantiate a certain view that he holds, he says, don't believe, because people come to terrible errors.
You should still investigate the thing to see whether it's true.
What?
Just still investigate the thing to see whether it's true.
Yeah, even though you have emotions.
Let's say you see a guy with knowledge for lying.
But he
says,
right? It depends.
While you're investigating, you have emotions also.
You see, there's a chazal. There's one chazal, which was on the bottom. Chazal is like this. Chazal say that Talmud Chacham Shehoir Alama, Talmud Chacham that passed in the shadows. The specific case. Says if his psak preceded the case, believer. But if the case preceded the psak, don't believe. It's said by Tom Apollo. It's Tom Apollo.
The case.
Yeah, like the Gemara says, or Granny Tom says, it's only if it's a prejudiced psak. But the case of whether Dovra Melech, the Gemara says, Shadow of Dovra Melech was, since he was, when his Mutu Lovi Bakal, Shaw raised the problem. Is Dovra Melech Mutu Lovi Bakal or is Asa Lovi Bakal? Am I evil? He can't produce some way of death. So the psak was that my other even one knows. So somebody said, somebody from the bottom of the service said, definitely, I know that Allah is a mighty, but I'm minus my other, my other. So the Gemara said, but he himself was married to he was married, he was a brother-in-law of Dalai Lama. So therefore, they couldn't believe him because he himself, it was Nagev Dalai. So Gemara says, Tam l'chacham shayra halacha, if he paskins the shayla first and then he does it, then you can believe him. But if he's involved in the situation himself, then you can't believe him anymore.
Why?
Even if Tam l'chacham. Because maybe he's, if he comes up with something new. If he says,
no, I'm still sure he can't
still. No, it's still happening true. It's true.
It's
true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's
What about what the Rambam said? What about the Rambam said about the...
Of course it means investigate, but it means, let's say, for instance, you can't investigate. In an area where you can't investigate, tell us the fact.
Don't rely on them.
Fact.
Don't rely on them.
If it's a matter that's subject to investigation, of course you investigate. Of course, if you can prove it, we accept it no matter what. Proof's the proof. And this is what the Rambam's trying to tell you. But if you come up with a fact, no matter how good it comes from, if we do not believe, we can be the biggest tzaddik ador. If your Moshe finds me himself comes down, this is definitely it. If he's involved personally in anything, we will not accept the fact. That's how I want to make the money. The money is my book in places. It's Allah. That's part of us. Why? Because that's what the Rambam said. Because
the Rambam said about Socrates, was it? That he was no prejudice. He was the greatest.
No, but Aristotle.
Oh, Aristotle.
And yeah, well, the Rambam says you have to know the person. The Rambam is talking about the person. If the person is really an objective individual, that's what I told you one time. What time? That when the Rambam says Aristotle was Tachlis Das Adam, what does he mean Das Adam? He means not that Aristotle knew everything. I'm not going to Aristotle. But he meant that his ability to examine every area with the least amount of emotion is the highest that man can ever reach insofar as he's a human being. Everybody has some emotion. But insofar as he's human, has reached the highest degree, he can investigate any area with the least amount of emotional involvement, just pure mind. That's the highest level. Which means Aristotle is the way he needs the world. It's so sweet. But that's what he means. Now that's the level that the Rambam says. Rambam says, if you know the person, you should investigate the individual. You have to know. If he's a person, that you see that there's certain prejudices. You see he's leading towards certain prejudices. Because he himself is involved, no matter who he is. Don't accept. However, if you see that he's really truthful, he's a truthful investigator, there's nothing in there, then you follow what he says, you can. And then, of course, you follow his interview, you understand. Of course, the man you rely on his intellect, his theory of the yours. But the first thing is to attempt to understand the thing rationally. If you can't understand it rationally, don't accept on the basis of authority when the authority has some personal, emotional involvement, because this is the disease of the mind. And this disease of the mind can destroy his reasoning. In one word, human reasoning, the best human reasoning, is always subject to prejudice and to inaccurate thinking due to the emotional involvement. That's what he says. Okay. Now, I want to mention something else. In regard to the basic principles that we mentioned here, the principles, the fact that God operates within certain laws. There's a question of evil. Question of evil and evilness. This is a big question that bothers everybody, you know. How could this happen? How could this catastrophe happen? How could that exist? Most people spend their lives thinking about this. Other problems, which are just important, they don't bother with. Not only that, but they spend their time thinking on this, glued to this, fixated to this problem, to the detriment of any improvement, because they can't get off the problem, they can't get anywhere. They're stuck in other areas, maybe they find a wood punch, but they can't. Why? The one simple reason, because their emotions are involved. If something goes against their emotions, how is it possible? No answer. Okay. So, I say that our approach is a little different. We say that there are many things that happen in the world we don't understand. Just like we don't understand certain things which go against our emotions, we don't understand things which are neutral so far as our emotions are concerned, the world of physics, the entire world that we don't understand, a lot of problems. What we do is we investigate the area, any area, as unemotionally as we can. We realize that man cannot try to fit, the basic premise is that man can't try to fit the world with his own emotions, but on the contrary, his emotions are supposed to fit the world. And the only true philosophy is not to take your own emotions, your own feelings, say, hey, how could this happen? This is impossible. Because you're going by your emotional ideas of justice and not by the real ideas of justice. What we have to do is try to find out what those real ideas are, and then attune our emotions. So, okay. Now, one of the things I want to mention is the problem of evil in the universe. There's two basic solutions to the problem. One solution is that a lot of the things that people consider evil are not really evil. They're just evil to the birds and the average person. This the Rambam mentions insofar as Eve is concerned. It says that Eve lost all his children, lost everything that he had, his wealth and his family and everything, and then finally got it back. His health, everything. So the Rambam says, what does the story of Eve teach you? Rambam says one thing. He says that first Eve was like a traditional Jew. What is a traditional Jew? Traditional Jews. Person who he learns Everything, he enjoys everything. He says, but when he lost these things, so he was miserable. Why was he miserable? Because his
energy
was directed equally, spread out to all the things, all the different physical things as well, physical, non-physical, in the country. Because when Eve came to the recognition that there's only one thing really that matters, and that is knowledge of God. Everything else is worthless. When he finally came to the ultimate realization, then God gave him back everything. Why? Because then he was able to see everything in a different perspective. Now, when to us it looks like evil, it lost its family, it lost this. It's only evil because our energy is directed towards that. And what happened to us? See, boy, I couldn't take it. It's terrible. See? This is not evil, this is just emotional outburst. Evil, it's painful. Painful, but it's not evil. It seems like evil because it's something that we want. Our emotions are pulled to this, it has to be very good. But if we really lived according to rationality, this wouldn't bother us. Fear of death. Gemara says, loss of love body. We learned last year, loss of love body. People will not say, Baruch Diana S. Why? Because they'll recognize by Irish and Kitaev, Zayyam and Misa, that this is at least really the best situation for me. Death is nothing but fear. On the contrary, this is the greatest thing. God made it there. The end of his whole, of man's whole striving is death. So there has to be, this has to be the ultimate good. The only thing is that to us, we're afraid of it. Emotional hang-ups about it. So therefore, we think it's terrible. So first of all, what we consider evil, number one, is not really evil. Not necessarily. That takes care of most of the evil that people complain about. That's one. Then there's something else. But you will say that there are certain situations in which, even philosophically, we can't justify what occurs. Certain forces, like when a chacham dies in a catastrophe, right? To say that this is definitely not good for his Talmud or for whatever. I mean, philosophically, there are certain, the philosophical goods also would seem to be affected. Well, I say, in regard to that, that's the kasha of Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzaddik, the rabbi, Russia. Okay. In regard to that, the Gemara has also Moshe Rabbeinu never received an answer. Sure, never received an answer. But it doesn't mean that, it means he never received the ultimate answer. But it does not mean that we cannot progress any further than this point. We can understand something more about it. And another premise of philosophy that we always abide by is that every step in the direction of knowledge is an important one. Every step. Even though it might not satisfy emotions, but every logical step is a step in front of us. And we have to make that step. I say so. That we say, like for instance, the best thing we give emotion. Let's say, for instance, a person would go to a judge. Something bad occurred, and somebody stole something from you, lost something. So he goes to the judge and he complains. And the judge asks him for evidence. The evidence is no good, the judge is not good. Why does the judge look at it? See? What is the argument? Yeah, they're both looking at it from different standpoints. This individual is just looking at his own personal angle. That's all. The judge is trying to gear a whole society. He's trying to judge and advise society. And he can't look at this individual specific case. You have to look at the general society. What are the rules? You have to abide by rules that are going to save the entire society. Let's say the judge should be convinced. This person pleads and convinces the judge 100% that he's telling the truth. Can the judge award him the money? Can't. Because by doing that, he's going to break the law. By breaking the law, the next thing that can happen, this guy himself will lose that. But somebody else will, somebody will take him to court and say, then he'll take away your money. There have to be rules that must be followed. Otherwise, the whole thing will be destroyed. The whole society will be destroyed. There must be rules of society. That's what today's people don't want to understand. That they're just rebellious against the society. That's another emotion. To rebel against any form of law. You have to see, is it rational? Is it necessary? It's necessary. Our emotions might not like to be bound by law. It might be against our emotions. It might not enjoy. It might enjoy to be free. Run around to be free. But who says, we have to know what that's the best way. If rationality dictates that it's harmful, then we can't do it. We can't abide by it. Now, this is the point. The point is as follows.
And so far as that evil is concerned, we have to understand that this world, the only thing we can say about a catastrophe, say a catastrophe of 6 million or other areas, you can only say one thing. That's the only thing you can say. Anything else, beyond this point, anything else is just nonsense, just human imagination. You can only say that it could not have happened any better way. There was no better way for it to have occurred. You see, going back to the marshal, just like the person who looks at the judge and says, one second, he didn't give me the money. It's unfair. See? He can't see the way the judge is looking at it, because the judge is looking in terms of universals, so he's looking in specifics. In the same manner, we can never understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing a specific thing for one reason. Because we're looking at it from a personal angle, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at it from the terms of universal law. These universal laws, which are necessary in order that the world should exist, the universals. You follow? So the thing is, since we look at it from our standpoint, we always say, hey, it could be changed, it could be this way, it could be that way. We don't see the results. What would result in certain changes? The only thing we can say is that according to the way this universe is structured, there could not have been any other possibility. This was the best possibility that could have occurred. Why it was the best possibility? We don't know, because we can't see the universals. We're like the man in court. He can only see his own family. He's hungry. He lost the money. That's all he can think. He can't see anything else. The judge has to look at the entire society. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Ki govu shamayim me'oretz, kein govu drachayim yidarcheichem umach shevaysayim mashereshem. Yilai mashereshem mashereshem. Because man, it's a marshal. What's the marshal? Ki govu shamayim me'oretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see the entire spectrum. Man is on the ground, he says one little thing. So he thinks that this law could be changed. He doesn't see the results. He doesn't see the entire system. Since he can't see the entire system, so he imagines that this could be changed. But he doesn't realize that if he would change this, the whole world would be destroyed. Because he doesn't know all the laws that are operating. He doesn't see the total system, and he can never see the total system. That's what it means that God probably didn't answer the Marisha. It means that he didn't show the Marisha the total system. You see? But to know that there is a total system, that we know is true. Now, I'll show you, basically, I'll show you this. There's one chazal, and also a Kratan and Fayyad. There's a, can you give me the, right in there, there's a Russian, you want to get the Marzuran, Yom Kippur, Marzuran Yom Kippur. On the top shelf, I think it is. One Marzuran. Chazal says, Kivan Shenitein Rishus Lamashvis, Einay Mavkin Bein Pebarov. Chazal say, once there's an epidemic of plague, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mafkin bein peh v'ra'ah. The plague does not stop at the door of the Sadek. Okay? You'll ask me why, doesn't it? Sadek didn't deserve it. Why? So didn't you trust him alone at the Arutz and Ashtonim? Give up Shatim. But the plain shot is there. That the deacon is trusted by running at the door means that the mashkis cannot be mafkin bein peh v'ra'ah. The plague cannot stop at the door of the Sadek. Why can't it stop at the door of the Sadek? Because that's the way.
It was natural.
Has to be. It's part of the whole. That's what it means. It's part of the whole. If that wouldn't be that way, then the whole could not exist. See, to us we imagine, hey, it's not there because we can't see the whole. And actually, it's in the Piyut of Yom Kippur by the Asara Rugim Malkus. Piyut says it. You got it?
Yom Kippur.
Yes, there's one up there. Yom Kippur. By the Asura Gemara, it says like this. It says, Sarfe Maila Tzaku Gemara. The heavenly Sarfim cried. Zuter Vizuskara. This is the terror of the Sarfim that gets. Tariq Elam was killed in such a barbarous manner. Oite Kasal Mo'era. Oye Menai Tshimcha Gadu Vanero. Mechor Megadech Al Dere Tera. Is that the way the world should be conducted? Unta Baska Mishamayim. In Eshmach Belacher, if I'll hear another word, Epech Esha'olam Lamayim. I'll convert the world to water. L'chayu Vavoyu Oshis Hademayim. To nothingness and emptiness, I will make Hademayim is the Horat Hademayim, it means the earth. Zerei Mofanai Kabluha Meshashe Dasimayim. What does it mean? Zerei Mofanai Kabluha Meshashe Dasimayim. So the Python says it openly. What does the Python say?
Is it rules?
It's impossible. In Eshmach Lacher, if I hear that word, Epech HaSeh Olamayim, if I listen to you, then I have to destroy the whole world. The whole world has become water. The sale of my Russia, the whole world is destroyed. If I intervene, my intervention at this point would mean that the whole universe cannot exist. There's Zeri Mofai, Kavua Mishashi Dasanai, I have to accept that. That's part of the universe. That's basically the it's based on the principle of the Rama that we took in the
why can't you say that there
are there's certain rules that, why can't
you
say
why can't you say that there'd be Nisim in certain cases?
You have to know when. See, we don't know. We say Nisim, we don't know when Nisim can occur and when Nisim can occur. It's a Chazal in Shabbos too. The Gemara says that a person can in Simchal on that. So it means Simchal on that. We don't know. Even the greatest tzaddik cannot say that there's Bumble and Nisim. Because we don't know when it's possible, when it's not. We know that it's possible. That we know. But we don't know the specifics, because in order to know that, you have to know the whole, all the laws of the universe. And that no means that enough. That's why Moshe didn't know. It wasn't even the first part of the answer, Moshe. It means he wasn't capable of seeing the entire spectrum.
Question. The question of predestination. Right? You said the system of a whole, the system as a whole must function, right? And that's why the tzaddik must suffer, right? Because he can't look at. So as an individual fits into the system, right? Would you say that his course of life is predestined with that system? Since we make little fillets between the system and the type. Well, the fillet is possible, right? And they struggle. But we say you
don't say, we don't say. So I want you to understand one thing. There's an important thing. We do not say that in general this is true. I want you to understand that. The Ramban mentioned this point. Says we don't say that in general there's no hashgacha for the tzaddik. We don't say that. In general, on the contrary, the tzaddik has the best life and the rush has the worst life. The Rambam says, the Torah says all the time, the person conditionally, then you'll get the star of the sun. This is definite, no question about that. But the only thing is that there are certain exceptional cases, the Rambam says, in which it doesn't work. But on the whole, the tzaddik has the best life and the rush has the worst life. On the whole. Because otherwise, if the Rambam would create the whole world, it's the purpose of the world. But in those unusual cases, we can't understand those cases because we don't have the entire picture. See, if we had the entire picture, but in general, it's tzaddik, the tzaddik lord, Russia or Rabbi, that's the general principle. The only thing is that there are specific cases in which there's an impossibility, otherwise the world will have to be destroyed. Now, people, emotionally, it doesn't help a person, but it's not an answer which caters to the emotion. See, the emotion just wants one thing, that everything should be possible and everything should work. That's the emotion. But you have to remember that in philosophy, in Ashkafa, you have to follow reason. You can't follow that emotion. And that's why people are stuck without an answer, because they simply can't accept this, you see? But as we see from the Rambam, from thought itself, dictates that we do not say a Kodesh Baruch Hu to do the impossible. Therefore, certain things which are impossible, and which matter per se, the universe per se demands that certain things must be, certain imperfections must be, by the very nature of the matter itself, of the structure of the universe, so it has to be that way, otherwise you can't have a world. That's why they say that this is the best possible of all worlds. But perfection can never be found in the physical. In Napoli, it's impossible. That's what the Python says. Oshis is a Lesayu Babayu. Efer Chasel Mamayim Lesayu Babayu Oshis Adamayim. It's impossible. Either you want to destroy the world, or else it's in the physical. And I say we do not know the specific answer, but the general principles we can understand. Therefore, the problem is not
not just what it was before. It's a totally new thing. It almost isn't specific anymore, but we can see the general answer. Okay, I'll stop. I mentioned this stuff to you.
Now, what does Rambam say about the Zohar? The only thing that we know what Rambam would say about it anyway, because we have similar writings from Chazal. The Zohar has certain things Chazal don't have, but there are other things in there which are similar to Chazal. Some want to say, the question is whether the Zohar is authentic altogether. We don't really know. It was found after Rambam's time, about 1300. No way of knowing. The claim was from Rashi Ben Yochai, which would mean it was over 1,000 years old. Hard to really know whether it was or whether it wasn't. The only thing is that there are a lot of things in there that are parallel to Chazal. So some said yes, some said no, or Yankel said no.
There's some proof in the language or something.
What?
I think there was one proof from the language.
The style?
Yeah.
Well, it's possible. But it's hard to know 100% which
way. The guy might have written it.
What?
Someone else they said might have written it, didn't
they? Yeah, Shemini Chai.
Yeah.
Well, the guy found it. They okay. It suspected him. Wasn't it Leon, I think it was.
Moses Leon.
All kinds of questions. It's hard to know, really. I think we'd rather to know who really wrote it. But at any rate, there's nothing that the Rambam would not have been overcome by the Zohar. The Rambam was that anything they understood, he used. No, you didn't understand, he didn't use. So if you tell him that the Zohar says if a guy's nose is crooked, it's because the Gimel's upside down because he stole something. I mean, the Rambam would say that this is nonsense, and if it's written in the Zohar, it has to have either it's fallacious, or else somebody else put it in there that's that didn't know they were talking about, or else it has some hidden meaning. The same thing Rambam says to any other difficult point that doesn't understand.
When he says he has some hidden meaning, does that mean that he disqualifies it as a proof?
No, he says it could be a marshal, because Baruch Chazal wrote in Yeshua. Because philosophy was hidden. Chazal did not want people to know philosophy because it's dangerous. So therefore, many things they wrote in metaphorical form. In order to disguise it, in order to hide it. So, that's what the Rambam was saying. It's the same thing. I mean, there's no big problem. The Shita of rationality. And anything that you understand benefits you, and you don't understand, then in terms of knowledge, you're just wasting your time. Just to take things that you don't understand and just incorporate them in your mind in some crazy way, that you know what you're talking about, it's not it's a fool. That was an Rambam Shita. The Zohar, notwithstanding, wouldn't change the Rambam Shita. But if you don't understand it, there are parts in the Zohar that are philosophical. Parts in the Zohar that are very philosophical. Parts in the Zohar that sound completely mystical. Okay, yeah. So where are we at now?